welcome those of you watching.
You are mighty, you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call.
Come on, is it true? Come on, say it.
Is it true that you are thinking?
Come on, sir.
Who am I that you are mindful of me?
Again. on, give God a big praise. Give God a big praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. God, thank you that you call us friends. Thank you that we are your children. We are your family. We are family together in the body of Christ.
Say! Hey.
Lord. Somebody shout it here. Hallelujah. Say, I will see.
I will see the goodness. See the goodness. See the goodness of the Lord.
Come on, say it again.
I will see the goodness. See the goodness. See the goodness of the Lord.
God, thank you that we will see your goodness in every area of our lives, in every situation. That's our prayer tonight, that we would see your goodness. You are good all the time, and all the time you are good. Hallelujah. So we thank you that we're going to see your goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God, we taste of your goodness tonight. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. And we put our hope in you. We put our faith in you. We honor you tonight. Thank you for all those that are here, those that are watching. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that there's hope in Jesus. Thank you that there's hope in Jesus. We love you tonight. Bless each dear heart. Bless our children. Bless our youth, adults, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you for this night. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. You ready? Here we go. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up. I will do all things through you who strengthens me. I will reap in my due season, if I don't get weary and do no good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I'm in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, somebody, give God a big hand praise. Take a moment and go around and greet a few people and just say, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm going to turn the adults, this rowdy adult crowd, over to Gary, and I'm going to take the well-mannered, reserved youth. We're going to go into the fellowship hall and have some fun. So, we have a couple of children that, Vernita, if you want, Naya is willing to take your two little ones. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Gary Talbot. Let's go, youth, all the youth. G. Harvey.
Am I on the battlefield? Oh, my Lord. I'm on. Sing it. Have y'all ever been up here? It's kind of scary sometimes. Look at God is good, right? We're good. A couple of scriptures just to kind of get us let off. First of all, welcome, everybody. See the barbers back there, Brother Jermaine, Lisa. Right. Shout out to these people. I like them. All nations whom ye have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. That's Psalms 86 and 9. And the other one I like is, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90 and 12. Tonight, the one verse that we're going to be looking at, I have to give you the verse preceding it because there's a conjunction there that brings them together. So it's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. 25 is going to be our core verse. And it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when you hear that, you have to kind of take notice of what's going on in the world. Because, first of all, this is Hebrews. Some scholars believe Paul wrote this. Then there are some that says Apollos wrote it. Some says Barnabas wrote it. And then Priscilla may have wrote it. Y'all remember Aquila and Priscilla? They were followers of Christ. Aquila was like the 70th disciple. But it's neither here nor there. We're not going to debate that. What they were saying here is true, that we do need to be together worshiping, because the day is fastly approaching when our Savior will return. So you look at all the weather things going on and how people are acting now, mother against daughter, father against son, all that stuff is coming to play. But these things has to be, so we're not surprised, because those who are followers know these things has to come to play. So the thing is, we need to at least be vigilant about those who don't know the Lord, and to get them saved or converted, because the time when they're going to need them. And this body of believers and anywhere in the world need to be together, right? So there's a lot of questions we need to ask tonight, and hopefully that you will help me answer some of them, or have some kind of idea of what you think, because you've seen people that kind of stray away for a while and come back and then leave again. I know the Bible talks about the soil, which is the heart. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on thorns and thistles and got choked out because of the cares of the world. And some fell on good ground. So that's what we deal with when we talk about our families, our loved ones, and friends. So why is the assembly so necessary that we come together? And that's a question. It's open to anybody to kind of have an idea to answer. And I'm not going to throw this mic in your face, but they need to hear you on the live stream. So if you could just, why is the assembly of the body together so important for us to come together? Any ideas? Good answer. I love it. Draw from each other. Brother James, Elder James, what do you think? That's true. We're going to dive into it a little bit more. I just wanted to get your ideas of why it's so important that we come together. So a little bit, let's talk about the pandemic. We knew that a lot of people were shut down from coming to church, right? And rightly so, because of what was going on. And, you know, when we look at it, there were millions that passed away, you know, and some churches still had church and they had people pass away, you know, just trying to be, you know, spiritual, so to speak. But it cost people their lives. But since then, post, and don't get me wrong, they're still going on a little bit, so still be vigilant and make sure you're protected. But since people have started coming back, a lot of people have not come back. So any idea why that is? They become comfortable watching on TV. So streaming is a good thing, right? I mean, for those who can't, I mean, people, there's a pros and cons to it, right? So if you didn't have it and you couldn't get out, you know, you'd be looking for something, right? So, and people do get complacent and they sit there and have bedside Baptists, basically, and watching in their pajamas and, you know, have their coffee, get the word. But it's not the same as being in the place, is it not? I mean, it's just not the same. And when you really look at it, when you come together here, there's an atmosphere that you just can't get at home by yourself. So post-pandemic, I guess people you say got complacent, Wilhelmine, is that what you're saying? To just stay home? So is there any other reason that maybe... Say it again. So they still are afraid of the pandemic stuff? They stick with it. They go carry it with them. Is that what you're saying? Dad, what were you going to say?
Same thing?
I didn't know. Did you had? I didn't know if you had anything to add to that. So. Okay, so we kind of talked about why do you think there's a decline, and we've talked about the pandemic is one of the reasons. So I got a little list of here, and there a lot of them are excuses. People will make up excuses. I mean, I know my mom made me go to church all the time, and I would try to think of some excuses. And none of them worked. I'm sick. We're going to pray for you. Come on. You know, I can't find my shoes. Put them on. Come on. You know, you had school clothes, play clothes, and church clothes and shoes, right? So there was no excuse at my house. But here's one. Church lasts too long. Now, growing up, church was all day going on for me. I mean, for you too. I mean, those are up in the cruiser's age. Church, we went to all type of services. I mean, we fellowship with everybody in town and YPWW and all that stuff. But that was one of them. Fear of being judged. People don't feel comfortable coming in. Because they know they've been out in the world and you may smell like weed or whatever coming in and people are going to turn their nose up at you and you know, or whatever. And they don't want to be judged like that, you know. And some of us are guilty of that because we will turn our nose up there. What you been drinking? You know, all that. And they're trying to come, you know, come to church and try to, what'd you say? Right, right. So that stops people from coming. Church is boring is one of the excuses or things they say. They only preach hell and brimstone. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear good stuff. So they want the sugary word coming toward them that I'm great and everything. And they only want money. You've heard that one, right? The church is filled with hypocrites. And as soon as that person comes in, he adds to it, right? So a lot of them have been hurt in church. I think that's a big one. But how do you overcome that if you have been hurt in church? I mean, do you just stop going altogether and... Yes, sir, Kevin.
Everybody here
right. So if someone came to you and said, I'm not going, I've been hurt. Is that what you're going to tell them? Look. Go ahead. Thank you. Right. This is really a hospital for all of us, right? We're all trying to get better, and nobody's perfect. And there's no perfect church, because the moment you step in, it's imperfect, right? So this person said church is like a cult. All the rules and regulations, and you got to do this, you got to dress like this, and all that. So that's in some sense. They don't even preach about Jesus. There are churches that you probably don't even hear. They talking about how to prosper and all that kind of stuff. And no mention of Jesus. This one says, I hate church folks, but I love God. Have you heard that one before? I love God, but I can't deal with them people. Church is just a big show. Have you heard that? They ain't doing nothing but having a big old concert. It's a big show. So, church has become political. Any truth to that? Yeah. And I don't think you're really supposed to talk about politics up in the pulpit. Separation between church and state, right? You don't tell who you endorse, all that. I've heard it from other churches, but it's not the place really for it. Church does very little in the community. So it's all here and nothing going out, and they don't want to be a part of that kind of stuff. So, my children's needs need to be met. That's valid, right? But let's think about it. When you come to church, are you supposed to be looking for what they can give you? You supposed to be coming for what you can give to God. Which one is it? Because he's given us everything, right, that pertains to life and godliness, right? But we're supposed to be given to him. We owe him everything. Yes, we want our children to be fed, but you can do a lot of feeding at home too. I mean, what are you doing with that downtime and not teaching the children? So they say, I don't feel any closer to God after going to church. So they came in down and they leave down. A lot of people are experiencing that. Now, some churches may be like that. I don't feel that here personally, but some people feel that way. That's why it's really important that we invite people, and when they get here, love on them, make them feel important and special, because they are. Because when you come to a church body, It's not an organization. It's an organism. So there are many parts, right? And when Ollie's gone, I miss him. I notice he's not here. He could be the leg of the church, and I'm walking around like this now. Because Ollie's not here, right? Everybody plays an important part in the body of Christ. So there are people that says, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but I don't like going to church. I'm unchurched. I don't want to be that. So Jesus found that church was very, very, very important. He was always in the synagogue, right? And the scripture says the church is his bride. So you're going to love Jesus but not his bride? What's up with that? I mean, because he loves the bride, right? So let's see what we got next. So I got some seven reasons why people don't go to church. Let me see if I can find them here. I think it's up here. Okay. They deem churches irrelevant. They cite hypocrisy, and I can't see what that is, and something failure of church leaders. Oh, some of the leaders have fallen from grace, so to speak. And that's a problem. We put our leaders up here, and when they fall from grace, we're hurt. We're damaged goods, so to speak. So you can't put man there because that's not his place, right? They feel good in missing. They feel God in missing in the church, okay? They feel legitimate doubt and prohibited. So some people have doubts about this whole Christian walk. And when they address it to people, they kind of talk down to them. You must be crazy, you know. When they have some questions about some of the biblical stories and all that, and they just questioning God, which we all question God at times, you know. And as we grow in faith and not to really question everything because we don't know everything. And you can't handle everything if he told you anyway. So you have to be cognizant of that you don't damage people. They don't learn about God or Jesus. We've mentioned that. They don't gain any significant new insight about faith. They have trouble finding a community. When we say community, that means here. There's no togetherness here. So they feel like they're ostracized or they're not in the clique and all that kind of stuff. Here's something interesting. Church attendance statistics. The U.S. Christian majority has been shrinking for decades. A Pew Research Center study shows that as of 2022, about 64% of Americans identify as Christians. 50 years ago, it was 90%. So you can see there's a big drop-off. So what's happening from then to now that there's a drop-off in your walk? Any ideas what's going on? This is during the COVID. Had kind of dropped off. These people never or seldom went. And you got a few times a year, and these were two times per month, one or two times per month, and everything seems to decline, each one of them. All of these went down by age demographics and race. At 18 to 34, I think it really dropped off. That's a critical age these days, is it not? And they are parents, too, you know. So what are they teaching their children? Do y'all know all those demographics, the Generation Y, Z, and all that kind of stuff? Let me see if talking. This is worldwide church attendance. In Africa, they're more busier than we are. And they walk miles. Miles. Hungry. Destitute. And they still, yeah, just to be in that synagogue or church together. We can stay across the street and not go. I mean, we could stream it, right? Bedside Baptist. Boop, boop. Bring me some more juice. Let me pause it. I'll start it back up in an hour. Boom, boom, boom. So we have gotten lackadaisical when it comes to the things of God. And he's done so much for us. How do you weigh that out? I mean, right.
And people are going to, you know, believe a lie rather than truth. They're going to be seekers of pleasure more than seekers of God. I mean, he said it. We don't have to let it be fulfilled in us, but that's going to be happening. And we have to realize, you know, that we can pray that the Spirit of God draw them to him.
What's our part?
We can't tell them about
that's right, do you? Come on now.
We have to give them the word and the Spirit will do the work. But sometimes, you know, we can talk about all kinds of things, but we don't talk to our friends about God.
Come on.
That's not popular anymore.
What about on Facebook? Can't you?
You can see, you know,
they don't do it on Facebook?
What?
Tell them about God. Or do they tell them about what I had to eat today?
About, you know, God is everywhere now.
Right. Right, right.
They're thanking God that he blessed them to do something that the word said don't do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't give us space to be mean or not caring and not showing love.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I heard somewhere that, you know, with by loving kindness, he's strong.
That's right. We're going out for souls, not for church members. That's what we should be doing, right? So this thing here about dads, how important, and the impact. When both parents attend church, 72% of the children attend church when they get grown. That's within the family. When only the father attends, 55% of the children will come back to church. And then when the mother attends, only 15% of the children, when they get grown, will come back to the church. What are y'all doing, mothers? Y'all beating them. When neither parent attends, 6% see here, these, there's a little boy over there. He's kind of cut off there. You see what they're doing. So here's these ages, and I'm going to kind of break them down for you a little bit, because this is really critical of why people are not, because they think a little different than we do. And do they have the Generation G up there? 1901 and 1927, something like that. Yeah, World War II. They're 96 and 101 years old. I'm going to start here at the baby boomers. There's a lot of them here tonight. And let me see how they're thinking here. Following the World War II, there was the baby boomers. This is because people were coming back from the war and they start to populate. So, and they care about health, wealth, and life quality. They still believe in hard work, and they're relatively open to new experiences. They still will be around for quite a while. Maybe it's better to make a huge experience insight. They are usually have a lot of money right at this time, more than the younger group. Then there's the Generation X, 43 to 58. Those are the prime timers. That would be prime timers here, right? Okay. Sometimes called the lost and forgotten generation. They're busy and cynical. They were taught to believe that they could get whatever they want. Post-war? Oh, that's you, okay. So that 28 through 1945, those people? Popularized by jazz and swing music. Their parents who lived the Great Depression, raising a family, put a premium on traits like hard work and gifts. So, yeah. The kids were expected to earn their way through life using strong work ethics. Yeah. Millennials. Woo, woo. That's one of the biggest groups there is. What's their age group? 27 to 42. Who's still? That's Johnny, ain't it? Yes. Are you? That's you. Okay. All right. Oh, they lived through 9/11. They remember when Amazon was sold for just books, and are also the first generation to know a childhood both with and without internet. Is that true, Bernita? Because she's going to be teaching a class. You Can Do It is the name of the class. Huh? They were with and without the internet. I put this here because it was kind of interesting on the millennials. One of the main reasons millennials are leaving the church, scholars have highlighted a series of reasons for this, such as that the millennials view the church as too focused on power and money, too involved in politics, or they are too focused on their theological rules and thus have become exclusive to certain groups of people, such as the LGBTQ community. They're open to that, is what they're saying. And old school church is not. They're not accepting that. So if they're not accepting that, they're not coming, basically. So their beliefs are different. So I don't know how you harness that, but that group of people is going to be the older folks soon. So what does that do for them behind them? So, and I think they also are open to gender choice too, when you're born and all that stuff. So our world is getting out there. So we did kind of talk about why it's important to attend. There are some benefits in gathering. Number one, because it's the example of Jesus Christ. He believed in that, right? He in the synagogue, praying, healing. That was all to come in. So it's who we want to emulate, right? Number two, we should get actively involved in the church to contribute. One of the biggest problems is that people see church primarily for what they can get out of it and not what they can give to it. We talked about that a little bit. Our church needs children. Without the children, the church will dissipate or go downhill, right? So we have to pour into them before it's too late. Because we talked about the millennials. We can't let them do all the leading because I don't know where we'll be. How many believe that they are here because of the prayers of their parents? I mean, you're still here because mama prayed, daddy prayed. They prayed over your life is what I'm saying. Because a lot of us was out there and it was mama or daddy or somebody that knew you, that was praying for you. And by the grace of God, you're still here. It's not of your own. Get actively involved in the local church because of community. So at the church, you got your sis families, whoever needed. Let me tell you about one that happened recently. The hospitality group of this church is just outstanding. Sister Paulette lost her sister and all came with their resources and came together. And we met over at the place where they would have the repast. Everybody's on time. Everybody's in their place. It was like a well-oiled machine. Props to Sister Linda. Getting the menu together, getting the ladies together. That's what church does. That's what a church body does right there. I mean, it was beautiful. I've never seen it. I've been in church all my life. So counseling, you know, you get to know people and you correspond with them and you talk to them and you kind of love on them and say you can make it. That's what church does. You can't get that at home. You have to be here. And we connect. This is kind of a little selfish thing, but, you know, jobs have been received, you know, at church, you know. A lot of things come into play. We go fishing, right by? Bowling. All that stuff is community stuff that we come together as a church body. The beauty thing about it is that we're all believers. So you can hang out with other people, but you don't know who you're going to be hanging out with, you know. So it can get pretty wild. That's what I love about the beauty of a church gathering. And it doesn't always have to be in this room. It could be other places where we come as together, as long as we're gathering and believers, right? Now, there is a danger of not attending church. Can somebody get 1 Peter 5 and 8? Get a dollar, who would we get it first? Go ahead, brother. So, when you're at home, discouraged, doubt, and depression will set in by yourself. So, that gives room for the enemy. Because he's going to throw stuff in your mind and in your head, and there's nobody there to be with you. That's why it's good to have church family when you're going through. Someone you can talk to, you know. Some people don't always want to be bothered, but you just give them time and you talk to them because they need it. So where there's no fellowship, there is no stirring up love and exhorting one another. That's one of the issues or the dangers. So the purposes are missed. And this is a little analogy or a story of Esther. And we're thinking about going to see that play. And information will be coming out soon about that. But Mordecai encouraged her to go and see the king. But he said it still would prevail even if she didn't do it. But she needed to be a part of it because this was her calling and her purpose. So when you come to church, I think everybody has a gift and there's a purpose and a calling for you. And if you don't come here, you don't get to tap into that, is what I'm saying. So it's good to come. So. Corporate prayer. Praying alone is great. It's good. But when you have a unified body praying and being on one accord of the same thing, I just think it's like an aroma to God when everybody is praying the same thing. He inhabits the praises of his people, right? We're about running out of time. I had a video, but we won't get to it. And that was it. So is there any questions, emotional outbursts, or... This is serious business because people are getting called home every day, you know. And right. Right, right.
Everything's gonna be all right. But when you're by yourself, just like that creature that they were showing up there, you know, you can be, you know, like you can convince yourself that there's
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's true. Yeah, it's true that picture of the lion, he always looking for the wounded or by themselves. That is so real in life. That's what the enemy is trying to do, get you by yourself. Well, I had a video, but we won't get to, maybe next time we will, but it's talking about the scriptures about the great falling away. And the guy's voice is scary. He's reading these scriptures and like, ooh. but anyway. So anyway, we're going to close here. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this night of fellowship. Father God, we just thank you that we are aware of the things that are going around in the earth and around the world. Father, we just ask that you just continue to unify us as a body. We give you glory. We give you honor, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Are you coming up? Do you have announcements? Okay.